This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We are killing it online.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on WSJS.
So glad to have you on a Tuesday drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. And while our show was off in the afternoon on Labor Day, the show was still laboring at Keenan Stadium last night, and it turns out, so were the Tar Heels. By the way, find our Instagram reaction from the field well past midnight on our YouTube channel. Search The Drive with Josh Graham. Please consider subscribing. Getting to what transpired, though, there are two big storylines coming out of North Carolina's 48-14 loss to TCU. Bill Belichick's collegiate debut, of course. There's the actual football piece about whether Bill has got out for college, whether the experiment can work on the field. And then there's the visceral reaction we've seen to the game itself. And that might be the more interesting piece, the reaction, because it seems the entire football world, both college and pro, absolutely delighted today to see Bill lose that way. The college football lifers, they're certainly rooting for Bill to lose. Heard from a handful of them last night, sitting in the press box at Keenan Stadium. College sports lifers saying, ha ha ha, this guy thought it was going to be easy. Oh, the hubris. Coming in, thinking that college football was all that similar to the NFL. Different sports. Imagine the hubris it takes, the arrogance, to be taking your first college football job at 73 years old with no college experience, and then, according to the reporting by ESPN's Andrea Adelson and David Hale yesterday, telling high school recruits, we're going to win national championships here. How about start with winning an ACC title, which North Carolina hasn't done since 1980? North Carolina had the messaging along with Mike Lombardi in the spring, Bill Belichick saying, this is an NFL operation we got here. We're going to be the 33rd NFL team. Imagine being Ohio State and hearing that. Wait, we're the ones that just won the title. Huh? Imagine being Georgia, 33rd NFL team. Did you see the Eagles' defense and how many of those guys went to school in Athens? All of college football is laughing today. Look at what the Big 12 put on its social media. Did you see this, Will? The Big 12 conference on its social media completely mocking North Carolina, saying a 34-point win against the 33rd team. Wow. That's from the conference's social media page. A lot of people happy to see TCU win. And look who TCU is. That's a 9-win football team from last year that nobody was talking about. Sonny Dykes, college football lifer, not an NFL guy. Some viewed last night and views North Carolina season as an assault, an attack on the way things have been done in college football. Oh, you think you could just come in here and run shop? Well, we have a way that we've done things for such a long time. And they're going to be the college football lifers happy to see Bill fail. And then, from a fan perspective, Bill and Coach K, the two most reviled coaches in American culture this century, polarizing coaches. And maybe it's because we hadn't seen Bill coach since it ended in New England in 2023. We were reminded how reviled Bill Belichick is in NFL circles. 25 years of smug press conferences will do that. The cheating scandals as well, but even beyond fans, NFL folks were looking at this saying, yeah, this is why you're not in the NFL. This is why no one interviewed you. This is why you weren't hired. You weren't blackballed. Nobody thinks that you can get the job done anymore. Look at your drafts as the GM of the Patriots. Look at those seasons towards the end as well. This is why you had NFL media jumping in on the fun. Adam Schefter reposting the Carolina flip card that I put out on my social media that was completely blank. Oh yeah, that's how you know Bill's at North Carolina. Adam Schefter reposting something that we put out there. Then locally, the ABC crowd had a good time. The Anybody But Carolina crowd, looking at you, State fans, Wake fans, Looking at you, Duke fans. State and Wake, they had to feel pretty good. Hey, we didn't love our season opening wins against ECU and Kennesaw State respectively, but it could be a lot worse. It could be what we just saw in Chapel Hill. To give Bill a little bit of credit, though, he did wear the loss the way that you're supposed to. Here he was after the game saying what you're supposed to say after you get beat 48-14.
Yeah, look, they just outplayed us. They outcoached us. I mean, they were just better than we were tonight. That's all there was to it. They controlled both sides of the line of scrimmage. Their skilled players played well, and, you know, they did a lot more things right than we did. So, you know, give them credit for being the better team. They certainly deserve it.
The football piece is going to sort itself out. We're going to learn a lot about the football piece, about what Bill's going to be able to do. Don't write them off completely after just week one. But the reaction piece, that's a story in its own right, too. And it doesn't seem there are many people all that bummed, other than those wearing Carolina blue, and even some wearing Carolina blue. All that beat up by the fact that Bill Belichick lost in that way. We're streaming video on YouTube and Twitch, in addition to at Josh Graham Show and at WSJS Radio on X. Will Dalton, he's the executive producer of today's show. You're a Tar Heel fan. You were with me last night at Keenan Stadium. How are you holding up?
It's nothing I can defend. And putting my Carolina fan hat on, I can't defend it. I mean, it was bad. And what stings even worse is the fact that you had College Game Day, you had Nick Saban and Randy Moss all there, MJ.
ESPN, right. College Football Countdown, right. Was the show.
And just the build-up. Because
you got to get Teddy Bruschi and Randy Moss involved.
And just the build-up to it. And then you had the first offensive and defensive drive that was like, whoa. And the response to it in Keenan, it's like, oh, this is actually going to actually live up to the hype. And then it went the complete opposite way. Like, it just embarrassing.
It's also NFL game week. Brooke Pryor of ESPN, NFL reporter, is going to join us. She just wants to come on. She wants a platform to vent about her Tar Heels. So we're giving her that platform. She's a Dryad native as well. Joins us at around 5:30. We are well into game week in the NFL. In fact, Cowboys-Eagles just a couple days away. But when it comes to the Carolina Panthers, there is a faction of the fan base that feels the Panthers are being disrespected by odds makers when Jacksonville opens as a 3-point favorite on Sunday. You should not take this as disrespect. Carolina is a rightful underdog in this opener. It doesn't mean Carolina is going to lose, for sure. That's not what we're saying here. But Vegas is right to project the game that way. Carolina's two supposed strengths are what? They're wide receivers and offensive line. The Great Wall of Lina, and you draft two first-round guys the last couple of years. You feel so good at that position, you don't mind trading your leading receiver from a year ago last week. But then what have we seen? Both those areas impacted by injuries. Ike Ekwonu could be out in week one. Had an appendectomy last week. If he's out at left tackle, Yosh Nyman going to be at left tackle lining up against former number one overall pick Trayvon Walker, who had 10.5 sacks last year. After you trade Adam Thielen on Wednesday of last week, Jalen Coker goes down with a significant quad injury on Thursday. The Panthers announced this over the weekend. He's going to be on IR. He is on IR. Going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, at least the first 4 weeks of the season. You bring Hunter Renfrow back. It was announced today he's going to be starting in the slot for Carolina. But you don't feel as good about that position as you did a week ago when Adam Thielen and Jalen Coker were on your team and healthy. This is also a road game for the Panthers. Even though Carolina won in the finale in Atlanta and you feel pretty good, oh, it's an overtime and they were great, it is important to remember that Carolina has won just two road games combined the last 2 years. Two road games in the last 2 years combined. And now you think the Panthers have proven enough to be favored on the road right out of the gate? Come on. The Jaguars could be a tricky scout. We don't know what it's going to look like. Duval. Liam Cohen took over as Tampa's OC when Dave Canales vacated that job a year and a half ago. Now he's a head coach for Jacksonville. He has two new coordinators. The Travis Hunter experience. How much offense is he going to play versus defense? Trevor Lawrence, just as important of a season, maybe more important for him than Bryce Young's season. The Panthers, they are rightful underdogs at 3 points. This isn't a slight. It isn't really all that disrespectful.
This is it. You ready?
All right, hold on.
All right, do it.
All right, listen up.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham.
Let's recap week one of the college football season. The best way we know how to do it is by attaching letter grades to what we saw. It is time for Graham's grades.
Every week is a test for your favorite sports teams.
Is this a test?
Who passed the test?
I don't know.
Who dropped the ball?
I don't know.
Josh Graham has the answers.
What?
Time for Graham's grades.
The good, the bad, the meh. From what we took in, let's start with the easiest A we've ever had to hand out. The easiest A out there, the biggest winner of the weekend.
A.
Lee Corso. The man did not miss. 6 picks, 6-0. And you might think, well, Josh, he's not picking against the spread. 5 of the picks he made were the lower ranked team winning, including his alma mater, Florida State. And to go a step further than that, all of the teams that Lee Corso ever played for or coached won on Saturday. Indiana, Louisville, Maryland, Navy, Florida State, of course. And there's one we're forgetting. Northern Illinois. All winners on Saturday. And the way that College Game Day sent him off, I'm not going to lie, I got emotional. I didn't think I would. I did. Rinaldi on Fox.
Yeah.
Pinning a tribute. Fox carrying the pick. Him being at the 50-yard line. I was sitting there with my son. And when I started to well up, it was out of, wow. They really let Lee Corso go out on his own terms. They really let an old man go out gracefully and the way he should, the way he deserved, and it's because of his allies, it's because of his guys, it's because Kirk Herbstreit, Rhys Davis, Desmond Howard wouldn't let it happen any other way than how it did. And that's just, it was a beautiful thing. And for him to be at the 50-yard line and to pick Ohio State, which was the first headgear he ever put on, a really cool deal. And then we got the ratings, and it was the highest rated College Game Day ever. 3.5 rating. To put that in perspective, that's twice some Duke Carolina basketball regular season games. It peaked at 5.1 million people watching the last 15 minutes of the show. It'll be interesting to see what College Game Day becomes beyond Lee Corso. But what a beautiful tribute. I was sitting there explaining to my son why Lee Corso has made his dad so happy, or made your dad so happy for all these years. And yeah, getting to share that was pretty cool. Lee Corso, your easy A winner in week one.
B.
Florida State drubbing Alabama. Now, Florida State wasn't perfect in this game. Alabama, a 16-play drive to score a touchdown to open things up. There was a muffed punt that nearly gave them a chance to get right back in it. Florida State invited Alabama to get back into that game. Alabama just said, no thanks. It's fine. You can just win it by two touchdowns. So it's a B, but you wouldn't know it by the way Florida State reacted. See what happens when you don't sue your own conference from a karma?
This is a football nightmare, brother.
Oh, yeah. The Feinbaum calls were certainly popping.
Paul!
As well as a result of that loss. But, hey, when you sue the ACC, you go 2-10. When you settle the lawsuit and become part of the league again, good things happen to you.
C.
Jake Dickert's Wake Forest debut. It's a win, Will. 10-9, though. It's a win. But you lose 10-9, or you win 10-9 against a team that you were favored by 17.5 against, and you lose Demond Claiborne on the first drive, and it's a rib injury. Jake Dickert calls him day-to-day. You can't say much beyond that. It's as lukewarm as a win gets, but it is win number one for Jake Dickert nonetheless.
D.
The Miami Hurricanes stealing the Carolina Hurricanes' hurricane siren. I saw AI say that the Hurricanes had done this in the past. I Googled it. I looked up. I have not seen the Miami Hurricanes have a long history of doing a hurricane siren before games. And now the Carolina Hurricanes have made the playoffs every year, and they have had the hurricane siren the entire run, and it's like their thing, and it's exciting. And now you got Jimmy Johnson revving up this thing on the side. It's weak. It's weak. And the only reason it's not an F on this list, Will, is because, well, Miami still won the game, and that's good for the ACC. You know? Can't say it's all that bad when Miami's doing good things for the league, but stealing the hurricane siren, that's low.
F.
Go ahead. We all know it's coming.
Chapel Bill Star Heels. Need I say more? That's been Graham's Grades for today. We'll get back into the Tar Heels in a bit. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. Do we have any 5-star reviews that I need to read on the air? Let me pull that up. Because if you give us a 5-star rating on our podcast channel, we will read it out. This is nice. I love the drive. 5-star rating. That's good. See if we have anything else to update people on. No, that one as of right now. So go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, 5-star rating, and we'll read the 5-star reviews out on the air. Oh, a congratulations to two of our show's favorite people on this planet. Both our longtime production manager at WSJS, DJ Turner, who has produced this show a number of times, and former producer of this show, Robert Walsh, got engaged this weekend. Both of them. Not to each other. I should spell that out. But shout out to DJ and Erica. That was great to see that this weekend. Shout out to Robert Walsh and Cheyenne in Nashville. A lot of people on social media saying that Robert looks like Steve Belichick.
He had some time to call plays last night.
Robert had a better weekend than Steve Belichick did.
That's for sure.
He did. Congrats to both of them. What will a Robert wedding look like?
I don't know. I've been thinking about this. I think
we've passed the statute of limitations. But I've heard so many people that did not know Robert, tell me Robert wedding stories.
About yours.
At my wedding, years later. Like, yeah, there was this guy with long hair who, you know, went into the bushes and took a leak. What?
So what happens when he's the groom?
And then he broke into the pool, and then at 2 a.m. was playing Sharks and Minnows at 2 a.m. May have had some paraphernalia.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know. Just some of the things that I hear after the fact, and it's just people who don't know him saying, yeah, there was this guy, he was a lot of fun.
Hope he wasn't Winnie the Pooh in the pool.
He might have. I don't know. Won't rule it out.
You can't. But
can't. Shout out to Robert, one of the Triad's finest to know. And congrats to DJ as well on their upcoming nuptials.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
In the last hour, Hubert Davis held his annual off-season check-in press conference. This was not done purposefully. We've known about this for a little while now, but given how the football game transpired, the timing could not be any more perfect. Dare I say funny, Hubert Davis meeting with the media today to talk basketball, 62 days away from the start of basketball season. Don't let anybody tell you Bill Belichick's 48-14 debut loss with the Tar Heels wasn't funny. Even if you're a Carolina fan, don't let anybody tell you that wasn't funny. The comedy started the moment we walked into the press box. WD and I were the first ones to get in there, and they have these flip cards that they hand out to all the media, and usually you have the depth chart, offensive defense, that makes it pretty easy to follow what's happening on the field. Well, North Carolina had a depth chart on its flip card, just nobody at any of the positions listed, completely blank, which led to Adam Schefter picking up that post that we sent out. Then when I opened up my phone, unlike Will, I don't get notifications. I see so many messages from people that aren't normally texting me about football that I thought that somebody maybe had died in my family. Like, what? Why am I getting... Okay. That's what's happening. Pretty funny. Pre-game warm-ups. A complete zoo. Randy Moss. Teddy Bruschi. Pat McAfee. Nick Saban. Lawrence Taylor. Mia Hamm. Michael Jordan. And the headliner, Aaron Boone. In the middle of the Yankees season.
Booney! He was there!
The Yankees are playing the Astros
tonight. In Houston.
Aaron Boone's on the sideline at the Carolina game. Turns out his son is a student manager. Yes. So he made a detour from the Yankees, travels to Houston to see Chapel Bill and to see his son, which is great. The funniest part about the pregame, should have sent you this video, was how Bill handled high school recruits. See if you can dig this up for those watching on YouTube, Twitch, and X. We want to encourage people to watch us in addition to listening to us. Bill Belichick, we're watching him pregame. He's checking in with coaches. He walked over to say hi to the folks at the ESPN set. And then he gets pulled away to the other side of the field. This is in the corner of the end zone. It's actually closer to the 20-yard line, right in front of the Carolina tunnel, and there is a line of Carolina football recruits that Bill Belichick wants to say hi to, but rather than just walking up, dapping them up, saying hi, saying, hey, we'll talk to you after the game, we got a game to prepare for. No, as if it is Christmas time at the mall, we got people lined up to see Santa. Got to get a picture with Santa. And this is the video I shot for those watching. And you have players. Clearly the guy in the gray suit is telling Bill the name of the player that's coming up to say hi to him right now. And then they come up, they get a picture, they walk away. It's like Disney World, where you're saying hi. Hey, let's wait in line for Mickey Mouse. Got to get a picture with Mickey. And this happened for about 10 minutes. Just a line of recruits walking up to say hi to Bill, get a picture. Amazing. Then the game starts. It's not going well for Carolina. Second half, Max Johnson throws a touchdown pass to his brother. It's a nice moment. Great return for Max Johnson. Carolina decides, we're going to shoot off the saddest fireworks show ever. We're going to fire off fireworks when we're down 41-14. Smoke them if you got them. These fireworks are paid for.
They paid for them, and they were using them.
And they did a fourth quarter light show, which was great.
Yeah.
In the videos on the board, no one wants to play us in the fourth quarter. It's just that the football team didn't do its job.
No.
And this is the part, honestly, where I feel bad. Because people say, well, who do you root for, Josh? I like seeing our locals do well because we build relationships with people over there. There are so many people who've busted their butt behind the scenes who have nothing to do with the football itself, but making that feel big at Keenan Stadium, making it look awesome, they did their job. They did. And the weather did its job. It couldn't have been a better day. Everything was set up for this to look awesome and be awesome, except for the Bill Belichick football piece. And that I genuinely feel bad for, but it's still funny when you're doing a fireworks show and a light show and you're down by 30.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget about the Air Jordan sign.
Oh, there was Air Jordan signs. Now, that's not North Carolina.
It's not, but it's something else that was funny.
Doing their things. There are a lot of funny things. Yeah. And then, do we have a screenshot just of the postgame? There's the postgame press conference where Bill Belichick, Will Dalton is to blame partly for this going viral today. It is partly Will's fault. Because if you watch SVP SportsCenter or watch what WREL or local TV stations put out, you want to tighten up the shot. Make sure it's just chest up on Bill. And if you do so, you just see like their sponsors in the background. You see the Carolina logo, the Air Jordan, DirecTV in this case. Will Dalton.
Personally, I think this is a better shot. You get the podium with the Carolina logo.
Diabolically, Will Dalton decided to shoot it with the backdrop.
Uh-huh.
And you have Sour Grapes Bill. You have Grumpy Bill. You've got, I don't want to talk to you right now, Bill Belichick.
We're on to Cincinnati.
And in the backdrop, you have a balloon arch.
Yep.
A giant arch. If you're not watching or you hadn't seen the viral post on social media now, it is, we're talking 50 or so balloons.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge arch.
Looks like a baby shower.
It looks like a gender reveal. It's a boy.
Is Jordan, she got some news.
Uh-oh.
Hey-o.
You could have easily moved that.
You could have.
10 feet to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Just get it out of here. Now, there are people who are espousing things, saying, this is North Carolina taking a win for granted. Oh, this is Jordan deciding to decorate Bill's press conference.
No, it's not.
To be fair.
No, it's not.
Do we have a compare and contrast? Last year, WD had the same shot, and there's Mac Brown.
I've been consistent here.
Oh, remember when Mac Brown was mad, knew he was being let go, and decided, I'm not going to take any questions from the media after the state game? Well, yeah, there are balloons there, too. There's some balloons. So that's been an ongoing issue with Carolina. So, with all of those options available to you, Will Dalton, what was most funny from last night? What made you giggle the most?
It's got to be the balloons. It's got to be. I mean, I didn't. It's to me. It's
either that or the photo line. Photo line.
I didn't laugh at that as hard.
Just because the guy in the gray suit having to tell Bill in front of the kids, hey, this is this guy. Hey, this guy. Shake a hand, get a picture. We'll send you along.
See, I was laughing thinking about Peter Herbstreit with the headset.
Oh my goodness, and we didn't even talk about the fact
no.
The game got so out of hand, the A broadcast team that ESPN has, the best of the business, ran out of things to talk about, and they said, get the dog in here!
Yeah.
We need to put the headset on Peter Herbstreit and have him call the last 2 minutes.
Man.
Given all the mispronunciations by Reese Davis, it might not have been that much worse.
Yeah, Caleb Williams wasn't out there. Caleb Hood was.
Caleb Williams. Yeah.
Yeah,
Peter Herbstreit.
Could have used him last night.
He's got that. He's got a Pat Summerall-like style, letting it breathe a little bit. There you go.
I'm sorry, I'm a little winded.
A lot of talk.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
We look forward to visiting with Brooke Pryor of ESPN, NFL reporter, but from the Triad, and a proud Tar Heel alum. We'll do that in about 15 minutes. But before we get to her, the Carolina Panthers might have been closer than you think to landing Micah Parsons. Last week, we learned of the blockbuster trade between Dallas and Green Bay. It could have been a blockbuster trade between Dallas and Carolina, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Fowler had this story that he worked on with a ton of his ESPN colleagues that dropped today, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Then Fowler went on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, and he reported that Carolina was in touch with Jerry Jones about the Cowboys star pass rusher.
Which other teams did they reach out to?
Yeah, we never got the full list. I know the Carolina Panthers inquired. They did not make a formal offer, but they did inquire, so they were in talks. And, you know, we heard some whispers from league circles that Micah had interest in certain teams. Green Bay was one, but like a little bit of Baltimore, a little bit of Kansas City, Philadelphia. But we never really, some of those teams didn't look into it really. I know Kansas City didn't. There wasn't a lot of momentum in some of those other teams, but Carolina did look into it, and Dallas would have had reason to look into that because of Derrick Brown, you know, star defensive tackle. They were looking for those type of players, those interior D linemen. So that makes some sense. But Carolina ultimately didn't want to move Brown and didn't move on that.
So given what the trade ended up being, Kenny Clark, Pro Bowl defensive tackle from Green Bay, 2 first-round draft picks, it might be fair considering that Dan Morgan, per Jeremy Fowler, didn't pursue it further. It would be fair to assume Jerry Jones asked, if you want to make this trade, Derrick Brown and 2 number-one picks, and Micah Parsons is yours. Because we can agree, Will, that's a much better deal for Dallas. Derrick Brown, superior run-stopping defensive tackle to Kenny Clark, and 2 years younger. Carolina, not as good as Green Bay is, so those first-round draft picks are more valuable. So was Dan Morgan right to decline the trade? We posed this question on our social media channels. If you're Dan Morgan and Dallas asked for Derrick Brown and 2 first-rounders for Micah Parsons, what would you do? 70% of you said they would decline the trade. That's a little surprising, a reaction from Panther fans, but it's the right reaction. Dan Morgan, he was right not to trade for Micah Parsons if this was in fact the price. Number one, Carolina's not as close to winning as Green Bay is. Carolina's not as close to being a contender as Green Bay is. Green Bay makes this move, Will, and even though they lose a Pro Bowl defensive tackle, the reaction's what? Green Bay's a contender. Green Bay's a Super Bowl contender. They can get to the Super Bowl. If Carolina had made this trade, let's just play it out hypothetically. the reaction to it, I think you'll have more people saying Carolina's a playoff team, potentially. It would make Carolina better in the near term. Micah Parsons is more of a game changer than Derrick Brown is, but is it best for the Panthers long term? Green Bay is pushing their chips in the middle. Carolina's not ready to do that yet because they're not as close to being a contender. Because how the NFL works, okay, you gain a game changer, but by losing Derrick Brown, how are you going to take those next steps to being a Super Bowl contender? If that is in fact your goal in Charlotte, to win a Super Bowl rather than win the NFC South 1 year and then take a step back, you need those first round draft picks. You absolutely do. Also, you can't risk losing those first round draft picks in the event that Bryce Young isn't the guy you think he is. And while the 10-game sample size is valuable this past year, we still have a larger sample size of him not being as good through the first 2 years. So Carolina's in a position they can't risk it. Carolina's in a position they cannot risk giving up two first-round draft picks and Derrick Brown to bring in Micah Parsons for the splash it might be. Good for Dan Morgan for making the call, though. We said this a few weeks ago, didn't we, Will? We said, hey.
Make the call, yeah.
Make the call. If the offer was Teteroa McMillan and two first-round picks, that's the trade we put on the table.
Because then you got Derrick Brown and you got Micah Parsons.
That's the trade we put on the table a few weeks ago. We said it'd be about two first-round draft picks and a player you can help out and help you out right now. And if it was Teteroa McMillan, assuming you didn't already trade Adam Thielen and Jalen Coker wasn't hurt, you probably do that trade. Or at least that's a trade that you consider more strongly. But Dan Morgan, he's angling for the future.
We have fun.
Cool Slick writes in, thank God for Dan Morgan. What is this, fleece the Panthers season? Sheesh. Dan Morgan isn't getting fleeced. He fleeced L.A. when he got that second-round pick back. I think 2 years ago, well, we know, Minnesota moved off of Adam Thielen because they thought he was washed. Now they get a fourth-round pick for Adam Thielen going into the final year. I think Dan Morgan's a really good GM and pressing the right buttons. And he was right not to trade or go any further in pursuing a trade if Derrick Brown was on the table. WD, you want to know the moment I knew Carolina was in trouble last night against TCU? And when I say in trouble, I don't mean, oh, they might lose the game, but this could be a real problem. Because we picked TCU to win the game. We just didn't think it would be 48-14.
Was it pregame?
Oh,
in
yeah.
In the warm-ups?
I'm sitting next to you in warm-ups.
Yeah.
And usually when you're watching pregame warm-ups, Will, you don't see the ball hit the ground that often.
No, it's sharp.
You don't. It's like, all right, you catch a pass, you do. There was a stretch, and I can't remember ever seeing this in an ACC game, where Gio Lopez and Max Johnson were throwing passes, and five straight passes ended up on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Either a few were overthrown, there were some drops. And I'm thinking to myself, that looks ugly. And then what we ended up seeing was the worst case scenario for Carolina. It could not have been worse than what it was. And you might be saying, well, Josh, at least they had that first drive. We'll always have that first drive. No, that makes it even worse. Because going into the game, we were wondering, could it be? Is there reason to believe? And then after that drive, and then you get the four and out defensively, you're thinking, oh, this is different. This is pill. Oh, we're stupid to doubt this. And you feel, you're feeling it. You're allowing yourself to believe. The weather's perfect. The conditions are perfect. And then it's 48-14. No, like that made it worse. The fact that they started that way. And it was comically bad. It's Max Johnson comes in and nearly fumbles the ball as second throw, and Gio Lopez last play, he's fumbling the ball, and it's a scoop and score touchdown. Kirk Herbstreit barely gets the words out of his mouth out of the second half. Hey, this is a big drive for Carolina. 75-yard untouched touchdown run. It could not, because you're sold the bill of goods that Bill's going to have them buttoned up and in the right places. That's what he's going to do at a bare minimum. And he didn't. And he didn't. And that happens. That, and the thing that makes it worse, again, worst case scenario, is that it happened in front of the entire college football world and God.
It did.
There was no other game to divert your attention.
Everybody was watching.
This is what I say about the Dublin game, which Carolina is going to be a part of next year against TCU.
Yes.
Everybody, there's no other game. And so the overreaction in a positive way and in a negative way is going to be intense because that's what we do. Primetime games, this happens on Monday Night Football. This happens on Thursday Night Football. This is what molds opinion. You're playing in this spotlight game. Everybody's watching. Can't wait to see what the ratings are for this. It's probably going to be massive. And they all watched you do that. And that makes it worse as well. It compounds things. So for all those reasons, it's the worst loss you can imagine Carolina having. The most points Bill Belichick ever allowed in a game. The most points Carolina's ever allowed in an opener. Would love to see Mac Brown on one of these shows today.
Wonder what he was doing last night. You think he was watching that?
Sleep.
Yeah.
Past his bedtime.
You don't think he was sitting, he was in a Longhorns t-shirt just laughing somewhere?
Hanging out in the mountain.
Oh,
in
Boone,
yeah.
With
having a good old time. Maybe. Yeah. Possible. Can't rule it out. Board of Trustees. Hey, at least Lee Roberts was in the press conference after the game. Brooke Pryor. She's known for her NFL coverage for ESPN. But today, on this show, she wants on specifically to rant about her Tar Heels. We'll give her that platform next on The Drive. Triad native, Tar Heel born, Tar Heel bred, ESPN NFL reporter, specifically with the Steelers, Brooke Pryor is with us. Okay, there were certainly a lot of people at Keenan Stadium last night who had never been there before and might not come back again because of what we saw, but we were there before Bill Belichick arrived. We're going to be there after he was gone. So as a member of the local media, it was a bummer to see how much effort was put forth by the athletics department into this feeling big and looking big and succeeding, frankly, through one drive. And the weather couldn't have been better. Then you get that result. How much did it hurt you last night watching this?
It didn't hurt me at all because I felt personal validation. I felt a lot of, I told you so. This is, I hate to say exactly how I thought it was going to go, but this man, Bill Belichick, couldn't get another job in the NFL. Point blank, period, full stop. UNC made a rash decision. They made a not smart hire, and it was a rushed hire, a hire, maybe rushed is the wrong word, but it was a hire that was a lot of splash and not a lot of, I hate to say not a lot of substance because Bill Belichick comes with a lot of substance, but it was not, it wasn't good substance. Like, he has this incredible resume. It was, I feel like there were blinders on and there was a willingness to look past the recent body of work that he put on the field and the recent organizational failures that he had in New England, because there was this bright, shiny thing and there was, oh my gosh, we can have Bill Belichick. Let's get Bill Belichick. I mean, the comparison that comes to mind is it feels like you're on a used car lot and you see like a 2024 Grand Wagoneer at a bargain price and it looks like it's got like 1,000 miles on it. And you're like, wow, what a great deal. I've got to get this car. And then you find out that it's a flood car and it was like sitting on a dealership somewhere and got totally flooded out, but that's not disclosed. You know, it's, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. So at no point did I think this was going to go well. It didn't go, it went worse, I think, than I thought it would. But at the same time, there was so much secrecy around this program in a way that made me very skeptical that he was going to be able to pull the rabbit out of the hat. The recruiting class was not impressive. Yes, he brought in 70 new players, but this is not a Deion Sanders situation. Deion was a high school coach and an FCS coach before he got to Colorado. That doesn't mean that, like, he was, you know, worthy of all the hype that he got when he got to Colorado, but it was a different situation. Like, they tried to play money ball in college football, and it doesn't work like that. They tried to outsmart what they thought college football is. There was this arrogance with it, and I'm not surprised that this happened. I hope the Board of Trustees was watching, and I hope that they're thinking long and hard about the decision they made and the way that they made it.
Lee Roberts was in the press conference after the game last night. Brooke Pryor, ESPN, with us here. That's the North Carolina Chancellor. So you're hitting on the football story of this. The reaction today is also a story. In case you have forgotten, Bill Belichick, not a very beloved figure. Among fans, it's him and Coach K, most reviled coaches, box checked. But what has been amazing, the number of texts I received at Keenan Stadium from college football lifers who were enjoying watching him fail, rooting against him, and NFL folks, not fans, behind-the-scenes people. What have you found interesting about the national reaction where everybody, college, NFL, they seem to be pleased by what they saw last night?
Yeah, because I think it's a reflection of Bill Belichick was acting and kind of coming into the situation like he knew better, that his method was going to work. And it, again, I go back to the word arrogance. And I think that there is a lot of satisfaction around college football, around the NFL, that they were right. That, you know, the people that saw this experiment unfolding and said, this is not going to work. He is too stubborn. He is too stuck in his ways. This Belichick method, it requires having Tom Brady, right? I just think that, yeah, there is not surprise. I was talking to somebody in the Steelers, and they said it reminded them of, I think it was Titans-Browns was the opener, the year that the Browns got OBJ, and they were coming in with all this hype, and the Browns came out, and the stadium, I was at Cleveland, it was an incredible atmosphere. The Browns came out, they scored on the first drive, and then they took a beating by the Titans. They were like, it reminds me of that. Like, OBJ came in with this like $200,000 watch and all this hype and everything, but the Titans kind of knew, okay, if they can just withstand this first gut punch, this first like wave of excitement, then it's going to regress to the mean. Then the tried and true method of doing things is going to come through. And that's kind of what it felt like, was like, yeah, for a drive each way, wow, this flashy thing can work. And then it became obvious that the work and the talent wasn't there. I think that's the most disappointing part, is the brand that Bill Belichick built of do your job, nobody cares, work harder, like the shirt that you're wearing.
You notice
all of those things, exactly. That didn't show up. Like, it's one thing to have a lack of talent. It's another thing to preach fundamentals and preach like, okay, we're not going to be the most talented, but we're going to be the most hardworking. Where was that? That was gone before halftime. That team looked defeated. It looked, I don't want to say that they weren't trying hard, because I'm sure that they were, but it was deflating, and I just didn't see the fight and the fundamentals and the execution that you expect to see out of a Bill Belichick coach team, out of a Bill Belichick coach team of its heyday, not of what we've seen in the last 5 years or so.
Also, I got the Final Four hat from when Duke and Carolina met in the Final Four. The season 62 days away. And the funniest thing, unintentionally. See, this is a good segue, because there's a lot of funny here to talk about. Even if you're a Carolina fan, it's okay to admit there are funny elements to this, including the fact that Hubert Davis had his summer check-in press conference earlier today. So there's that as well.
That's amazing.
In terms of timing, the Blake depth charts, the shooting off fireworks down 41-14, the balloon arch behind Bill Belichick at the press conference. What did you find most funny, even as a Tar Heel fan? What did you find most funny about all this?
It was the balloon arch at the press conference, for sure. Which I talked, I When I was covering UNC, there was no balloon arch.
Yeah.
I talked with others who regularly are now in those pressers, and they said that the balloon arch has been around since the Mac Brown
era. I posted a picture from the Mac Brown era that the balloons were there. They've been there.
Yes. Even so, someone has got to move the balloon arch. That's embarrassing. That's what I was most embarrassed by. Because, again, I thought it was going to go poorly. But, like, I kept telling my friends, like, hey, at least campus looked great. Carolina blue is everywhere. Like, they won it coming off the bus. They won the off season. All this hype. Like, you know what? I had a lot of FOMO when my friends were at He's Not yesterday. I'm getting videos from the old well walk. And I'm like, gosh, part of me really wishes I was there. The weather is perfect. And then the on-field product happened. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm good not being there. And then, but I still felt like, okay, at least I can be valid in saying, like, I never thought this was going to work. But then the post-game press conference was just like, come on, guys. Now, this feels a little Mickey Mouse. Like, UNC knows better than to have the balloon arch. This feels Bush League. Please pop the balloons or scoot them out of frame.
I blame Will Dalton because all the TV stations had the tight shot and ESPN had the tight shot
of
Bill.
It's my fault.
And he's the one that decided to shoot the press conference in a far out.
I thought it was a good angle.
It's his video that went viral and it's your fault. Like, you decided to shoot it that way. And
they're going to move the balloons, though, I bet.
I posted it, but he shot it.
If they don't want to run the risk of balloons being in the shot, then, like, I just don't have them there.
It's an arch, too. Simple, you can move it.
Yeah, there's a simple solution for that one.
Brooke Breyer's with us from ESPN. You covered college plenty prior to your time covering the NFL. I take it you've covered plenty of Bill in New England as well, just because of the AFC and the Steelers. One thing that stood out to me watching yesterday, Bill, no interaction with the players on the sideline. None of that. And you were talking about, oh, his system works because he had Tom Brady. Well, his system worked because he had people built in who know his system that can do a lot of the pick-me-up of players behind the scenes. Okay, I'll break them down, you pick them back up type of a thing. And I just wonder, on a short week as they get set for Charlotte this week, or just in general, like, is Bill able to adjust the way that he does his thing in order to keep college players engaged? Is he interacting in a way that is encouraging guys even today?
I would be shocked if he was. He is not. He's not Mike Tomlin. I'll say that. I mean, I think that you're right. It works. If you're going to be a gruff, not a people person coach, if you are an X's and O's guy, then you have to have coaches and staff around you that fill that void, that are people. And I don't know that they have that on staff. I don't know that, you know, how much is Freddie Kitchens a player's coach? How much is, you know, Bob Diaco lifting up his defensive line? How much are Steve and Brian Belichick those guys? Like, I think that what is missing, I think about this a lot, and it sounds trivial, but vibes are so important in the intangibles in sports, and I think especially in college football. Like, you have to love up these players. You have to encourage them. You have to build them up. These are young kids, you know? It's a lot of times they are still playing for the love of the game. You know, they know they might not make it to the NFL. Things like that, like, you have to help build and shape and mold them. It's not as transactional as the NFL. It's not a job the way that the NFL is a job. And I know that there's NIL money and things like that. So, yeah, it's more of a job and there's more money on the line than there used to be. But I think that you have to be more of a people person. You have to be more of a vocal leader. And that's not Bill Belichick's style. I don't know if he's capable of that. I mean, we've seen some of the media stuff in the last year when he was not coaching that he was doing, and it seemed like he is capable of bringing out a little bit more of a personality, but I don't know how much of that he's showing behind the scenes, how much of that he can turn around in a week. But I don't know. It's a lot harder, I think, to manage and deal with that type of personality when you're losing. When you're winning, it's one thing. It's like, well, that's just coach. He's just like the lovable old grump. And like, no, now that's coach that's just kind of looks checked out. Like, is he really bought into you the way that he should be for you to buy into him and what he's telling you?
And when it's a standalone primetime game, Bill can say it's just noise. But for those players, dealing with what today's been is probably even more difficult to ignore. Brooke Pryor from ESPN is with us here. One more on Bill. So how much leash do you think Belichick has? Because as much as we speculated in the offseason about that $1 million buyout to fuel fodder that he might leave Chapel Hill, that $1 million buyout works both ways, doesn't it?
I can't remember all of the specifics of the financials.
Post July 1, it's a $1 million buyout.
For both sides. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I really believe in, you know, not compounding mistakes and get out of it as I hate to say, as quick as you can. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he gets fired mid-season by any means. I think it's on his terms if he wants to walk away. I don't know how much egg on their faces the Board of Trustees and the athletic department wants to have. It's going to be tough. I think that if he leaves, it's of his volition.
What does the crowd look like, Keenan Stadium, for UNC Richmond on September 13th?
I don't know, probably what it looked like at the end of the Fedora era and the Everett Withers era. I've lived through a lot of eras of empty stadiums. Like, I was laughing last night at watching the Droves leave Keenan Stadium and seeing just the shots of the empty blue seats. Like, oh, that's the stadium I know and love and recognize.
I need to throw an NFL thing your way before we let you go. It's Brooke Pryor that's with us. Your colleague, Jeremy Fowler, and many of your colleagues were working on this, did a great behind-the-scenes story about how the Micah Parsons trade came to be. And part of Jeremy Fowler's report, I don't know if it was in the report specifically, but he was on radio in Dallas saying that the Cowboys had an inquiry from the Panthers, but the Panthers were asked for Derek Brown. So if the framework of the trade is similar, given what Dallas received in from Green Bay, if you were asked Derek Brown and two first-rounders for Micah Parsons, what might you say if you were Dan Morgan?
I would do that. Yeah, I would probably do that. I mean, Micah Parsons is a organizational changing player. I firmly believe that quarterbacks and edge rushers make a football team. Like, that position is as important as the quarterback, is as difficult to draft and develop as a quarterback. It can change the trajectory of your team. And if I'm the Cowboys, I would probably prefer to do that deal with the Panthers than the Packers. I mean, those first round picks would be higher. Derek Brown is tough because he's younger than Kenny Clark, but I think that Micah Parsons still has a lot of years left. And I think that the Panthers are a team that can be on the rise. Micah Parsons certainly elevates them a lot faster. So I would have done that deal from both sides.
Yeah. Jeremy Fowler said that Dan Morgan did not want to part ways with Derek Brown. That's his words from that interview in Dallas. Do you view Micah Parsons in Green Bay the biggest story of week one? If not, what is as the week gets set to start on Thursday?
Yeah, I think that is the biggest story of week one. I think it's a 1A, 1B situation. That, and then also Aaron Rodgers going back to New York, playing against the Jets week one. Obviously, I'm siloed. I'm in Pittsburgh right now, so there's a little bit of a I have my blinders on in some ways, but I do think that is a huge week one storyline because we haven't seen the Steelers offense on the field in game action all preseason. They did not take a single snap. Aaron Rodgers has not played in the preseason. I saw him in joint practices against the Bucks. It was pretty at the beginning, and then it went off a cliff a little bit. They didn't complete a pass in their two-minute drill at the end of practice. So to me, that's the mystery of NFL week one, similar to the Arch Manning mystery, the Bill Belichick mystery. Like, is this, you know, things come in threes? Is this the third thing that, you know, there's all this hype around and then it just falls flat on its face? I don't know. For my sake, I hope that it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting for me either way, if there's a big win or a big loss. I mean, I guess all I can hope is that Aaron Rodgers survives the run out of the MetLife tunnel and longer than 3-4 snaps on the turf.
Yeah, let's hope that's the case. Brooke Pryor, are we going to see you in Keenan Stadium at any point this year? Are you planning a return trip?
You certainly will not. And I have to tell you, so the Steelers play the Vikings in Ireland week 4. Their bye is week 5. I had to book my flights over the summer. And I was debating, I was always going to stay in Ireland for a second week. And I was debating, do I fly back a day early and go to UNC Clemson at Keenan Stadium? That's the only game that I could possibly make with the schedule. And I asked my friends and they were like, you're insane if you come back early. And I said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to prioritize getting to be in Europe in the fall. So thank God I did not book my flight to lose a day in Ireland. Although after the first drive, I was like, maybe I should see if I could change that. And then I was like, nope, you know what? I'm good. I'm glad I made the right decision there. So no, you will not see me in Keenan Stadium this season.
Good for you. Brooke Pryor, thank you for doing this. Good luck week one. And thanks for always making the time for your old stomping grounds.
Always. Thanks for giving me a platform to get that off my chest about the Bill Belichick era.